What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
It is 9:26. Every other Tuesday, we know the importance of mental health, and we try to focus on that. Dr. Judy Hoke joins us now, clinical and forensic neuropsychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast. Dr. Judy, I just realized for the first time in all of this time, and I know you got Luca with you sometimes, that it's 7:26 in California where you join us, and we do appreciate you getting up to be with us.
Oh, absolutely. Actually, I'm usually up way earlier than this, but you actually caught me on a time change. I was out of town and I'm like readjusting. So it is slightly earlier for me today, but only because I'm still adjusting from
slightly
time change in Hawaii.
Well, Hawaii. Well, it's tough duty. Somebody's got to do it, Dr. Judy. Thank you for taking on the task.
Sounds ridiculous.
That is, no, it is quite a difference. So people that have never been to Hawaii, you're a regular or not?
No, I mean, well, I haven't been in a long time, but
How'd you like it?
A great trip. It was awesome. Yeah, we went to Oahu this time, but yeah, in Oahu, it's 4:30 right now in the morning.
A lot of water between here and there. I had to be sedated. Yeah. I'm just saying, I had to be sedated because I don't swim.
It's a long flight from where you are, too.
I'm no surfer. It is. I'm no surfer, but I had to be heavily sedated because that's a lot of water. We're going to talk about friendships today. And cultivating friendships as an adult, I've heard numerous people say, and I've had the pleasure of this happening with one person. And a matter of fact, I spent some time with him a couple of weeks ago. We have been friends since third grade. We've had our differences, and we were laughing about that over the weekend a couple of weeks ago. But this is the person, the friend, that you don't talk to every day. You talk to him every 6 months maybe. But you pick it up exactly where you left off. Do you have a friend like that or friends?
I do, yeah. I have a few friends like that. And they're from childhood. I mean, in a way, they're. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's childhood when it's college because you were a child. You were like 18 years old. So that's pretty much how we are. I mean, sometimes we won't talk for months. I have a friend who maybe I haven't even talked to in a year. But then we talk like five times in a month, you know, so, but it doesn't really matter, right? Because that connection is still there. And we don't really necessarily take offense to, you know, to not having talked in that time. I mean, things get busy and you don't necessarily even have to explain yourself. You just pick back up and it feels like old times, you know, and I definitely have a couple of friends like that. And I really cherish those friendships.
We've had our troubles in eighth grade. I think it was eighth grade. I kicked the football in high school and he moved the ball one time and I threw him down on the ground and started choking him. I had a bad temper at that time. Yes, and he told me, it's not worth going to jail over. That's how he said he got me off of him. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's a funny story.
Oh, yeah,
and then later on, I got mad at him because he humiliated me on a tennis court because he's an athlete and I'm not. But we put it together, and we've stayed friends throughout. How hard is it for older people to make friends or adults to make friends if, for whatever reason, you've moved away or those connections like we're talking about? First of all, let me take a step back. Does everybody have a friend like that, or are we lucky?
I would like to consider us lucky. I think we're blessed to have friends like that. I don't know if everybody does. I think maybe people sometimes did, and then something got in the way and they stopped connecting, or, you know, sometimes people can still have falling outs at an older age. Like, everything seems fine, but then all of a sudden one person does something and the other person's not happy about it. They don't talk about it, and that friendship goes away. So I don't think everybody has somebody like that.
Tell me the importance of having friends.
Well, social connection is vital to not only our survival, but for us to thrive and to feel good. It's good for our physical and mental health. It's been proven in, you know, a ton of studies. And so when people tell me that they don't need friends, you still need connection. And so maybe sometimes people will say, I don't need friends because I have family. I mean, that of course, it counts. But at the same time, sometimes there are rifts in the family. Sometimes there's complicated things that happen. And you might need somebody to talk to you and get you through that, or just to share an interest that maybe you don't share with other family members. And so, you know, the bottom line is we all need a few people we can connect with and count on. And it's helpful to have somebody outside of the family, just because the dynamics within the family aren't really, you know, conducive to, you know, having peace all the time, just because things come up. And so it's nice to have something stable outside of that as well. And you don't need a lot, but you do need quality connections.
Mark Twain said that the proper office of a friend is to side with you when you are in the wrong. Nearly anybody will side with you when you are in the right. But part of being a friend is and a friendship is being able to tell somebody when they're a little bit off base, right?
Yeah, you want to be able to have friends who are not just yes people, but people who are actually going to be honest with you, because it's not always easy, right, to hear something difficult. But if it's a true friend, you trust in the quality of your connection, and also it's usually for the person's own good that they hear the truth. And so you need somebody like that that's not just going to pat you on the back when things are going well, but actually say, hey, you know what, like, this is a tough thing, or you made a mistake, or, you know, even though you did something that wasn't the best, I'm still here for you. You know, you do need somebody like that. And I do think that sometimes those people, either one, could be hard to find, or two, sometimes people, as they get older, they just start getting embarrassed about calling their friend and leaning on them for support. Like, oh, I don't really want to call them. I feel bad calling them. I haven't talked to them in months, and now I'm just going to call and talk about myself. Well, if it's one of those true friends, like Tommy, you and I were talking about, hopefully that won't get in the way of you trying to connect with them. And hopefully your friend will welcome you with open arms and be like, it's all good. Like, we can totally talk about you today. It's not a big deal.
Somebody once said, if you have two friends in your lifetime, you're lucky. If you have one, you're more than lucky. And then somebody else said, if you have more than like three, you're a fool, that they can't really be your friends. Is it possible to have, you know, you hear 20 of my closest friends, 30 of my closest friends. Can you really have 30 close friends?
I don't think that most people can keep up those connections, because it's really hard to have quality connections that's that voluminous, because each relationship takes time to cultivate and grow. So unless you have all the time in the world, I think that that's definitely a much taller task. I'm not going to say it's impossible. I just don't think that many people can pull that off.
Is there a litmus test for friendship? I always say, if you don't know where they live, if you don't know their phone number, and if you don't know what they do for a living, or if they're married, have kids, they're not really a friend. They're more of an acquaintance or an associate. Thoughts?
Yeah, I think that that's a good rule of thumb. I mean, if you don't know certain, what I would call what you just listed right there, relatively basic fundamental details about somebody, then that's not a close friend, right? That's somebody that you get along with, that you hang with. That there's definitely some support that they offer. There's some value they probably add in your life, but they might not be a true friend.
When it comes to good friends or true friends, that's fine, but how important is it to have some small moments of connection with people, just to interact people? I'm bad for that. I kind of see myself in a Geico commercial because, man, my kid just goes crazy rolling the eyes and everything else, because I talk to people in elevators. I talk to people in grocery stores and everything. I just strike up conversations because I like to talk to people, or at gas stations in a Geico commercial or whatever the hell it is. Is it Geico? I think it's the Geico commercial. Anyway.
I think, yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Anyway, do you ever see yourself in those commercials? And secondly, how important are those little connections?
Yeah. So those are called micro connections. I actually talked about that in a recent podcast and newsletter of mine. So it's really interesting you bring that up.
Well, talk about it here.
Difference.
Talk about it here.
Yeah. Yeah, I do think that it makes a big difference. So again, they're called micro connections. Essentially, it's, you know, your local barista that you order coffee from once or twice a week. It's a person you just see down the street and you wave hi and you actually stop to ask how they're doing, even though you don't know them. They're maybe a stranger. Those things still count, you know, just having just that brief moment of a real connection with somebody who you might have a very peripheral relationship or even no relationship with. Those things really matter because they actually do have some of those same physical and mental health benefits that we were just discussing, you know, improving mood, spiking serotonin and spiking oxytocin. These are feel-good chemicals and bonding chemicals, lowering stress, lowering cortisol, taking you out of a fight-or-flight response, putting you in the moment. It's a form of mindfulness. And also, you brighten someone else's day. There's definitely been times where someone's brightened my day by saying hi to me and saying something or making a joke. Or there's times when hopefully I've brightened somebody's day because I stopped and actually asked them, you know, a substantial, meaningful question or, you know, showed some curiosity about their life. And you see that their eyes light up. You know, you can make a difference as well in someone else's life, even for that moment. And then that makes you feel good as well. It kind of comes back to you. So those connections are extremely important.
I know fear of rejection can keep people from interacting with other people. Not me, because, you know, I'll throw you on the ground and choke you if you move the football. Kidding. That was in eighth grade. but I figure, you know, I'm going to talk to you. And if you don't want to talk to me, don't talk to me. And you miss the chance to have a nice conversation. That's the way I look at it. So I don't let it hold me back. What would you say to people that are hesitant because of fear of rejection to have these micro connections?
Yeah, well, first I would say that there's definitely a spectrum of people who are discomforted by social interactions of varying kinds. Anything from mild social anxiety to maybe even fully having the symptoms of a social anxiety disorder.
On the spectrum somewhere, you know, you're talking about, right?
I was not talking about that spectrum, but I was talking about just a spectrum of social anxiety.
Okay.
That some people have some degree of social anxiety, and then some people really have a paralyzing degree of social anxiety where they actually have like the condition called social anxiety disorder. So, of course, I understand that. But at the same time, so much of it is built up in that person's head about how bad it could really be, how embarrassing it could be. It's always the worst case scenario. They fast forward to that right away. And so really, I think it's about getting comfortable gradually. It doesn't mean that you have to go strike up conversations at a huge party. It's just way too much social stimuli. Mm-hmm. But more like on a one-on-one basis, you know, when not everybody is looking at you, when maybe it's a space where it's not super public and there's not a huge audience, right? Because sometimes people might even be intimidated to, like, make a conversation with the local barista because there's a lot of people in the coffee house. And if the person doesn't give them, you know, doesn't give them any attention, they start feeling embarrassed. Well, what about if you're just walking on the sidewalk and you see somebody, there's nobody else around in your neighborhood. I just want to say hi and just say, hey, like, you know, what did I say this today? Oh, what's the name of your dog? I mean, those are less risky or stressful situations because there's not a lot of observers around. And then the more you practice, the better you get at it. And the more you'll realize that your worst nightmare isn't going to come true in these interactions.
I get a couple of texts coming in here. I saw Dr. Judy on a documentary with Steven Tyler and Aerosmith. Did you do that?
Yeah. I filmed that a little while ago, but it sounds like it may have just debuted recently. So that's cool. I'm so glad that they saw that show.
Good. I mean, well, you're all over TV. Can't miss you. I have tons of associates, maybe only four or five people that I call friends. Somebody else said, I have lots of friends and a huge family. I'm close to most, but no one I cannot see in a while and play catch up, not have to play catch up and pick up where you left off. Somebody else texted, and it's Progressive Insurance, which maybe goes to the nature of the advertising campaign that I remembered that I was like my father, but not necessarily the insurance company. Somebody else said, I swear that my wife has a Facebook friend that she met in line at Rouse's. That raised my eyebrows, but maybe it's a female friend, so maybe everything's so good. The best advice my dad ever gave me was to meet at least one new person every day, and if you don't have a good friend, make a friendly enemy to keep you sane. And here we go. What does the doctor think of people who have no friends and don't want any, and they're out in public, they go out of their way not to make eye contact with anybody? Do not answer, because we're going to take a break, and you can answer that when we come back. We're talking to Dr. Hoke, licensed clinical neuropsychologist, TV star. She's been all over the place. Host of the Supercharged Life podcast about friendships from the adult level, and we'll even go into the childhood part of it if we have time when we come back. 9:40, time for traffic, WWL. 9:45, Tommy Tucker, WWL, live to L.A. We go to talk to Dr. Judy Ho, clinical and forensic neuropsychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast, surfer as well, accurate?
You know, I would not call myself a good surfer, but sure.
I didn't say good. I didn't say good. Do you surf?
I do, yeah.
There you go.
You are a surfer.
You're a surfer. Let it go with that. You may always what? Also what?
I make lots of surfer faux pas. I'm such a beginner, you know. Like they're like, "Hey, you caught my wave." I'm like, "I'm sorry."
Yeah. Well, just
that you were in line for that one.
At least they didn't throw you on the ground and choke you. A.
Yeah, that's true.
And B, make sure you don't get et by a shark. All right. So before we went to the break, somebody said, "What does the doctor think of people who have no friends, don't want any? When they're out in public, they go out of their way to make eye contact, to not make eye contact with anybody." I know somebody like this. Thoughts?
Yeah. You know, I respect that everybody has a different bandwidth for how much social interaction they would like, but I would love to know if this person feels, you know, absolutely no joy from connecting with even one person on occasion, right? Not everybody needs social connection every single day with multiple people, but because we are biological beings that are built on social connection as a means for survival, we all need some of that to emotionally regulate and to feel our best as a species. And so, again, everyone's bandwidth for how much they need, I think that that's definitely up for contention.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
But does this person even enjoy talking to people once every week, somebody they really care about, having a true connection moment with somebody every once in a while? Because I would argue that it's kind of innate in our biology and it's how we're evolutionarily built. And you can't completely fight that, even if you are maybe on the lower end of, you know, the range of how much you need.
This text is very interesting to me and very appropriate, and so I'm just going to read it, and then I'll make my comment. It says, lost a few childhood friends over politics. They say I'm evil and the devil for not being a Trump supporter. They all seem to be in a cult. Well, I guarantee you, the friends that this person lost thinks that this person is in a cult. Is it possible? Are we so divided as a country to let politics split up a friendship? Or it seems to me a lot better to just agree to disagree, because you're not going to change each other's minds.
Well, yeah, I mean, like you said, this is very relatable. And I would say that I feel like up until the last couple of years, people were able to agree to disagree. And I don't know if that's just my perception, but I've talked to a lot of people and they seem to be a point in this, that it's really the last couple of years where things have gotten so divided that I have heard this breaking friendships, marriages, relationships between family members, parents and children, et cetera. I think before people might just make a snarky joke about it, or maybe you just avoid that topic with that person, or you just, like you said, agree to disagree. You might even be able to have intellectual conversations about it without getting too upset. But the last couple of years, I've definitely heard people just having such strong polar opinions that they'll just quietly disown their friends. Sometimes they do have a confrontation. Other times they don't. They just stop talking to them. They'll just stop following them on social media whenever they see them posting about a political view. And then they just completely stop calling the person. So I think that it has gotten to that point. And I will say that it's because most of the times when people have political views, it feels so inherent to a value system of theirs, right? And Tommy, you and I have talked about values before and how important that is to you. You and me and to everyone. It's like this idea of like, you know, what are you about? That's really the fundamental idea of what values are. And so when someone's values are seemingly so different from yours and people really attach their values to their political beliefs, it's like, okay, well, this is an impasse. We're never going to get past it. And I just don't even like you as a person. I don't even think you're a good person. And so they start to then attribute other negative qualities when the values don't line up.
What would you say to somebody who is hesitant to make that first micro connection or to try to develop a real friend, that person that doesn't want any friends, afraid to make eye contact? I can't believe that that's the, quote, normal human condition. I got to believe we're all social animals, right?
Right, definitely. And I would say that, you know, for everybody, their comfort level is different, their bandwidth is different, what they respond to is different, right? Some people don't need to talk to somebody to feel connected. They just need to be sitting next to somebody or doing something that is of interest to both of them, but kind of in parallel as opposed to, you know, being interacting directly with one another. They just need to be around the presence of people without necessarily having to engage. I know people who say, you know, if I just go to the local coffee shop and work from there for a couple of hours in the afternoon, I don't have to even talk to anybody about anything there. But as long as I'm kind of around people, that kind of recharges me. I believe that that's true because, again, we're built in a way, Tommy, that we're designed for safety in numbers. So in general, you'll find that our stress levels and our cortisol, et cetera, will decrease when we're around others. As a general rule, than if you're just completely by yourself. And again, that's evolutionary. It's like our species are meant to survive with other people around us because there truly is a type of safety in numbers. And so a lot of people will just say, I feel calmer when there's a few people around, but I don't have to be talking to them to get that benefit. And I think that that's an okay way to start as well if social anxiety is something that's an issue for you. You know, you don't necessarily have to make conversation everywhere you go. That's not really realistic.
One thing I did bring up with my friend, and we were talking about how much we value the relationship with each other, is that I said, now what I think we should do to cement it is buy a boat together, jokingly, because that's one way to just destroy a friendship. Are there any general rules when it comes to friendships, money, hitting them up for charity causes, et cetera?
Yeah, well, I think that it's okay to do anything that you feel the most comfortable with, as well as, you know, discussing this with your friend. I don't know about general rules, but I would caution that financial matters really tend to tear people apart. And people will say, sure, no, don't worry, you're on hard times, you want to borrow a few $1,000, just take it. I don't even want to have anything written with you that like describes what the terms are. You need to get them in writing. You know, even with a friend, that will cause a lot of resentment if things change and shift later and there's nothing in writing. So it's much better that you just say, yeah, I know you're saying that now, but I'm going to write this down right now that I will be returning this to you in 6 months in full. Okay. Like I'm going to write this on a piece of paper. It doesn't have to be a contract. You don't have to go to a lawyer, but it really needs to be agreed upon beforehand. That will help solve a lot of problems if you are going to get in kind of any kind of financial investments, borrowing money, anything like that. Just make sure you have something in writing.
Well, this friend, I was under some pressure to raise some funds and he owns a business. So I hit him up for a $500 donation, which I felt bad about, but then he hit me up for a $500 donation for his organization. So I figured, okay, we're even. That's fine.
Yeah, you guys are square.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's it's also okay to, again, this is about value systems again, right? When you're trying to raise money for a foundation, it's something that's important to you. And a good friend, even if they don't donate that time, hopefully they don't feel offended that you asked, because in a way it's kind of you just sharing something that's deeply important to you with a person you trust. And obviously, if you're going to do that, you can always just say, hey, it's no pressure, but this organization and what they do means a lot to me. It'd be great if you could, you know, contribute. But if not, please, no hard feelings. Mm-hmm. I've just been asking a few people about this because this is a really important cause for me. I think that if you frame it in that way, they'll probably be okay with it. And in your case, Tommy, it's clearly square because you both donated to each other's important organizations.
I hate to ask people for money. I would rather pay it myself. I swear to goodness. Thank you, Dr. Judy.
Too,
a pleasure. You too? You and I are the same person.
Yeah.
You know that.
I'm sure you remember in childhood, you know, when you were trying to raise money and I would just have my parents, please, can you just buy
a
few?
Same thing. Same thing. My parents would buy it. They said, we don't want you going door to door, we'll just buy it. Thank you, Dr. Judy. A pleasure as always. I think you and I are kindred spirits separated by a nation. Thank you.
Yes, for sure.
Have a good day. All right.
Have a good one.
You too. We'll take a break, come back, find out what Newell's got planned for us today here on WWL.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow, Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.